Ahoy.
Hello.
Hello.
I find your conversation today very, very interesting.
Sir, can I have your name, please?
My name is Immaterial. You have questioned if someone might have access to a certain database of ancestry.
Yeah, well, we were talking about there was our buddy Dave the Waterman, who's full of lies and stuff, said he had somebody, a relative of his, in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. We're just trying to verify this, sir. Again, can I have your name, please?
You can call me Hans if you wish.
Hans? I'd prefer Otto. Would that be okay?
That would be fine. You may call me Bismarck if you prefer.
Okay.
You could call me Herr von Buskirk.
Okay.
As well.
All right. That's fine, sir. What do you have to add to this as
you
far
would rather,
as.
You could call me Fritz.
Fritz. All right, Heinrich.
And if you would, like to call me Jerry.
Jerry.
Especially the British, they like to call me Jerry.
Okay. Now, you said, sir, hair, you said that you, we're interested in our conversation. We were talking about Dave the Waterman's genealogy, trying to narrow down when he came to this country, where his family was from, and he has no answers.
Perhaps it is best sometime to listen to your elders.
And let sleeping dogs lie?
Nah, I mean,
let me ask you something, Hans. Where is your heritage? You evidently are. This sparked an interest. Where is your family from?
Oh, you know, here and there is a melting pot.
It's a melting pot. But you have, I can't help but detect a distinct Aryan accent.
The accent, I try to eliminate, but you know how it is, living in the South, you pick up the southern twang.
How far south do you go, Otto? How far south do you go, and how long was your family there?
The family was... parochial, stay close to home until about the mid-1940s, and then we travel quite a bit.
Where is that?
Well, and you asked how far southern do I go?
Yeah.
All the way South Pole, believe it or not.
That's what I've heard.
There's a place in the South Pole called New Schwabenland. You can only get there by U-boat.
All right. Well,
it's beautiful.
Okay, that's great.
Must have been one of the six of the 43 that didn't report.
Now, you.
Let me tell you something. You have never heard Wagner until you hear Wagner when you are in an ice cave.
Oh, the acoustics must be beautiful.
It's like another world.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Fritz, what about Dave the Waterman? You have some insight maybe into his heritage?
Well, I told you I have access to database.
Uh-huh.
And I could look. What is this, Wasserman?
David Waterman.
David Wasserman.
Wasserman.
Okay, because I have nothing under David Wasserman.
Yes.
Now I check Boy Wasserman.
Uh-huh.
And yes.
Oh, no, you found something.
Hello, boy.
He's talking to you.
Hello,
he's,
Hans.
He's talking to you.
What's up, Hans? How you doing, buddy?
So what is this you are so curious about that you need to share on public airwaves?
Well, you know, I brought this Civil War letter in, and I'm trying to figure out literally when my family got to the country.
Because what you're telling me, Hans, if it's like you, the mid-40s, you weren't here fighting in the Civil War, least of all for the Confederacy in 1865.
And Hans, let me tell you, and then the other half fought during World War II and ended up in Argentina working for the Bayer Corporation.
The Bayer Corporation. You know anything about that, Otto?
The Bayer Corporation.
Yeah, the aspirin people.
Yeah, Buenos Aires.
Pharmaceutical, also petroleum derivatives. But this is lie. Your family worked for Siemens.
So then you're looking up all this on your database. Are you there, Fritz?
Oh, it's so convenient since we go digital.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. From what I understood, meticulous record keepers.
And that's all under boy Wasserman?
I have many, many files on boy Wasserman.
And his family? Do we know where his family? Because he can't tell us where his family is to verify this Civil War stuff. Where does the Wasserman family come from?
Well, I could tell you.
Yes, I would like you to tell me. I'd like you to tell me your real name, too, Wilhelm.
And then I would have to kill you.
Oh, you would not.
Oh, I kid.
That's that southern charm of yours.
That's, you know, how they say, redneck-ed humor.
Yep. All right, so where is he from? If you've got it right in front of you.
Was is the question about Civil War.
Right, did he have any members of his family fight in the Civil War?
Yeah.
Yes?
This person, name of Davis.
Yeah, Davis.
Mm-hmm. Ed Davis was instructed to get himself captured. And then Ed Davis was to gather intelligence. And then
pretty
Ed
distinguished.
Davis made his way to Port Huron in the Michigan. And crossed the lake into Canada.
AWOL, draft dodger.
Well, most interesting when you talk about it, Davis. The Schnuckeldorf family. They actually have long-time roots in America.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes, the origin
North
of
America?
That... Yes. Now, you see, that particular branch of boy Wasserman's lineage, which is spotless.
Oh, spotless.
Pure Aryan. Now, how
spotless?
How Davis,
I must call him a poster child.
Yeah.
How Davis family?
Yes.
End up in America is because you go back a couple generation.
Yeah.
And then you are back in Revolutionary War time.
And you have somebody named Benedict Arnold.
Well, you had certain people who were patriots, but they like to get paid, you know. They are your good friends, but they like to get paid. They were called Hessians. And there were a lot of them were just sauerkraut farmers in Pennsylvania.
Thus, we have like Germantown up there.
Exactly.
Okay. What about your heritage? Where? What did your like your father do?
My entire family was traveling polka musicians.
We travel
on cultural exchange, diplomatic passport. We go everywhere. Papa, you know?
Yeah, nobody asked any questions, huh?
When it is Oktoberfest, they ask no questions. And I would suggest that boy Wasserman forget about certain names like Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires?
Boy Wasserman should not be sprechen this in public.
Can I get a cup of soup?
You want soup?
Yeah, bro, I need some soup.
What kind of soup do you want?
What do you got?
What do I got? Yeah. I got everything. All kinds of soup. What's your favorite soup?
I'm not really sure, but I know I like soup, and, you know, I don't know, maybe like a potato or...
Ah, you want potato soup. Well, yeah. Guess what? No soup for you!
Oh, come on, man. I'm pretty hungry here.
Come back. Never!
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. We'll be right back.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the broadcast. Called it Why. Don't start this again. There we go.
No, we can't.
Now, how are you, Pally?
I'm all right, but we can't have any more buttons in the wrong position.
No, I can't. We should have our own board.
I think we may need to go off-site.
Yeah.
Off-site to a place where, yeah, we got the studio, but... You know, we got the band set up. We got we got pool tables, ping pong tables, pool. How about that?
That'd be nice. Well, they got them.
I can't believe it.
And Bill Cosby found guilty on all three counts sexual assault back who knows when.
Well, you got to keep trying him until you get him.
This same trial was a hung jury, and they weren't going to let it go. So they took Bill Cosby, who's, what, 80?
He's up there.
And put another nail.
And Stan, may I remind everyone why this happened?
Because of a comedian.
A stand-up comedian.
This bears rehashing. I've said it before, but then again, in 30 years in radio, I've said everything before. Bill Cosby.
And we should also point out, yeah, we're biased.
Yeah.
And Stan especially, because we know Bill Cosby. Yeah. We've interacted with Bill Cosby. Yeah.
I want everybody, a woman, man, young, old, especially the young that didn't live in the 60s and the 70s, before Bill Cosby became an institution in the 80s and the 90s, right up until the time the comedian ruined his life.
And his legacy, which is really, really the worst because...
Back in those days, it was free love, experimentation.
Drop a lewd.
And they were Hugh Hefner and his playmates were throwing parties at the mansion. If you look at old Playboy magazines, go ahead, find your grandfather's, look online for Playboy magazines in the 70s. They would always have a section in the front of the magazine of the parties at Hef's. And it would be the swimming pool, the playmates in there all naked, every celebrity under the sun, movie star, TV star. Were at these parties. It was like a Studio 54. You want to talk about things that decadent things that went on in the 70s. But it was you wanted to be seen. You wanted eye candy on your arm, and the women were more than happy to be a part of that because it got them attention. It got them notoriety to be seen on the arm of somebody. You can take any big-time celebrity from that era, and I can almost guarantee you would find stuff on them. If you wanted to go and turn over rocks and what have you. You could find something, but it was one of those things, dropping a lewd, let's go and try this, let's go and try that, let's be seen.
What I think is... really horrible is they've done it in both trials and they've done it in the media of going, the Bill Cosby you think you know is not Bill Cosby. Yeah, it is.
Now,
people are complicated creatures.
Yes, they are.
And Bill Cosby has done so much good
for humankind.
Yes.
Not just, you know, the African-American community, for humankind.
And especially kids.
And kids. Now, oh, there goes Stan and Haney. Haney said it at the beginning of this. We're a little biased. 10 years ago or so, 8-10 years ago, whenever Bill Cosby would come to town, always sold out.
Well, let's really
multiple shows.
Let's really set the stage. When we were set to interview Bill Cosby for the first time, we were called into a room here at the radio station, and we're told, you're not allowed to do interviews anymore. And you and I had been really looking forward to Bill Cosby.
Right.
He's very influential on us. And so we looked at management. We looked at each other first and went, oh, not of all days, not today. But, sir, we have Bill Cosby coming on this afternoon. Nobody cares about Bill Cosby. Nobody knows who Bill Cosby is.
I know. And that was the second or third time after we had him on.
Yeah.
We would come on every year.
Yeah, and they said, all right, well, you can have Bill Cosby on, but no more after that. So that, I always found that hilarious.
So every time that Bill Cosby would come on with us, he would have some little...
Certainly the fact that we're opening the show in 2018 talking about him.
Yeah, but he would always come on with some anecdote, and he'd talk about kids, he'd talk about teenagers. And I can't tell you how many people in the station and who listened to it said, can I get a copy of the interview you did with Bill Cosby so I can play it for my kid?
Yep.
Because it was so spectacular. He said it perfectly.
And he did that, whether it was Fat Albert or The Cosby Show. He would present things in a funny manner.
Yep.
But there was always a lesson underneath it. And that's why he was so popular.
And so the third or fourth time that we had him on, he was coming to the Barbara B. Mann sold-out show. Two shows, one night. That's how good he was. And we were talking about my daughter. And he says, bring your daughter backstage before the show. I want to meet her. He said, you come too, and have her mother come with you married? I said, no, I'm divorced. Have her come anyway. I want to talk to her too. Immediately escorted backstage. The man couldn't have been nicer. He was attentive. I'm going to say this, and I said it before. Everybody saw it in the news or anything. He's blind. He has either glaucoma or cataracts or something. He's blind.
And it seems to be progressive.
And he had with him, and I cannot remember her name, but she was an elderly a black woman, was well into her 80s. And she was one of the original 1930s, what was the dance they had back then?
Like the flappers?
Like a flapper. It was...
Charleston?
Not the Charleston. The boogie dance.
Who was that
boogie
old man dancing that we heard from just there a second ago?
That's D-Train.
That said, Charleston!
Yeah, no, it was the Jitterbug.
Jitterbug.
We'll get into that. But she was there, and she was talking about all the old movies that she was in with Cab Calloway and all... Fascinating woman talking about Bill Cosby, that this is the dearest man that I know, and he treated her like a goddess. This is the finest woman I've known. She's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. He went and treated my daughter like gold. They wound up going on stage at the Barbara B. Mann, doing about 25 minutes together on stage, and I could not have met a nicer man, but he was an old man.
And he had you helping him to read things and, oh, look at this picture.
Yep.
He didn't say anything to you like, I need help, I can't see very well. It was just very natural, and he knew that you got it somehow.
Yep. He had people come in backstage. Oh, Bill, remember us from high school? Here's how our kids look right now. And he'd take the picture, and he turns to me and goes, aren't they something? And I go, yeah, she's got the girl's got a red dress on. The boy's got a nice blue blazer on. That is, look at how beautiful that red dress is. And he kind of acknowledged. And then the people that were in there go, who is this guy next to you? He goes, that's my white son. He was great. And the perspective, and I think it's automatically in our heads. Back in the 70s, when he was 30-something years old, back in the 60s, when he was one of the first African-Americans to have a regular TV series on television, they lived it up. And it was that whole era of psychedelics, experimentation, the Studio 54, the Hef Mansion. Things happened. And now he's an old, blind old man, and he's being taken to court for stuff that happened ages ago. Hung jury initially. They're gonna keep pounding that. They're gonna get that
until
son
we get
of a
the
bitch.
Right jury.
And they get the right jury, and he's guilty in all three counts. And it's a shame. It's a shame. He probably regrets his lifestyle back then. But it was, everybody was living that way that back
and
then.
And from everything that I've heard, the big thing to me is it certainly doesn't seem like Bill Cosby was trying to hurt anybody.
No. Think of social standards 40 years ago. They're different than they are now.
Let's say you've got a nice gay married couple now. Does that gay married couple want to be tried under the rules of the 1960s?
Precisely. Because they'd be guilty of a crime.
They'd be going to jail.
Yep. It's just a sad day. And yes, Haney and I are very biased because we knew the man and know the man, and he was nothing but kind to us.
And his body of work
will never be duplicated, and it's all gone down like a set of blocks.
And again, just to emphasize it, the work that he did was so positive.
Yep, for humankind.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. Oh, you got to be shit me. You can't pay me enough to say this shit. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. And I need to address something right now to one of our texters so that I can clarify how we work here in the radio biz.
Someone clue me in.
Yeah. Somebody emailed this yesterday, and I don't know if it's the same person, but they texted it. You keep saying that you're giving away WWE tickets, and I haven't heard you give away a single ticket. Wrong. Zito has been giving away WWE tickets this week. And we, the Stan and Haney Show, are going to be giving away WWE tickets next week. Tickets are being given away each and every day on 96K Rock. Zito has it this week. We have it next week. Plenty of time, plenty of chances. Thank you for your cooperation on that matter.
Funny how people
are. I know. One last thing.
People love gotcha.
Yep. Yeah, you go into another commercial break saying WWE tickets this week and you haven't given away yet. No, Zito's giving them away this week. We're giving them away next week.
Yeah, but it's all right. You got Cosby scalp on the
wall.
Let me
just say this. And then I got to do the grab bag about Bill Cosby.
It's a sad day.
There are people in the industry. We've had a lot of people on this show that, because this has been going on for years now with these accusations now coming out and mistrials and retrying them and we're going to hang them yet and doctorates being taken away and all. We've had a lot of people in this studio that have worked with Bill Cosby that know Bill Cosby, and they can't say it on the air. But off the air, they can't believe what's happening to him. These are his contemporaries who worked with him through all the years. And we go, and we'll be right back. And we shut those microphones off. And a lot of them cannot believe what's happened to him.
Well, hopefully now that they've finally gone and done it, you'll see a little more support coming out.
Hopefully.
Now, is this, I'm assuming he can appeal this.
I would assume he could appeal it. Although, during closing arguments, his attorney fell asleep for 30 minutes in his chair.
Hey, unfortunately, and most of us can't imagine this, but whether it's, you know, because you know Donald Trump or because you're Bill Cosby and they're out to get you, the prosecution, the state, can make a decision as to how much or how little resources they're going to use in going after you. You, as a private citizen being accused of something, have every right to defend yourself as long as you can afford it.
Yep.
And he has been going through this for so long now, his attorneys... Go back and look at who was representing him earlier and earlier and earlier and the people who were defending him earlier, and then you get up to now. That Mesereau guy,
yeah,
he did some stuff for Michael Jackson, yeah, enough to make him mildly, yeah, famous.
Way past his prime.
Way past his prime, and I would imagine that he is doing this for the exposure, because his other attorneys that he, yeah, had were like, we can't keep doing this. We can't afford, yeah, it.
It's a shame.
And it really is.
And you said it, and the juice walks free.
Mm-hmm.
They get Cosby, but the juice walks free.
Well, they got the juice for something.
Yeah. But not the thing.
No. And I would really love to see the makeup of that jury, because they knew going in, we got to get the right jury.
Yeah, of
we
course.
Can't get somebody on there who's taking this seriously.
Can't screw it again the second time.
Yeah. We can't get someone who would understand what reasonable doubt means.
By the way, he paid her $3 million already a few years back, this woman, because, I'm sorry, it wasn't consensual. How do I make this right with you? I'm sorry. Oh, here's $3 million. She keeps that and then takes him back to court.
He's on the phone with her and her mother going, you know, obviously there's a mistake here. I misread something. I'm very sorry. What can we do about this? I'll pay, yep, for the education.
Yep. Pewter Mug bringing us the grab bag this afternoon.
And all of these things have one thing in common. These women were around Cosby because they wanted something from him.
Correct. Ah, those NBA playoffs. I love it. I love Charles Barkley and Shaq, man, with these playoffs.
Hey, everybody. This is Charles Barkley here with my main man, Shaquille O'Neal. Say hello to everybody.
How y'all doing out there?
Now, a lot of people say, come on, there's no way those are real words coming out of Shaq's mouth. He got that witness protection voice going on. But let me just say this. I hear everything that this big bohemian says as clear as a bell. And he is the most articulate man I have ever worked with. His knowledge of the game is unilateral, and his flatulent reputation is known worldwide.
You just out of your mind, you know that? You just dumb and crazy.
How am I supposed to know what they gonna name that royal baby? Anyway, my pick for who's gonna win it all is the Philadelphia 76ers.
And I'm gonna go with the Houston Rockets.
Well, there you have it. I say it's Philly, and Charlie Brown's teacher here says he likes the huge rotor.
That's not what I said. You just made me look like a complete idiot.
Love it.
If only the game were that entertaining.
Love it. You ever walk in a Walmart and you're in the, you know, you're in the sports section, or you're in the clothing section, and there's nobody there to help you, and you're waiting around, but yet there's that service phone. Well, guy was sitting around waiting at the Walmart for some help. Nobody around, so he picked up the service phone.
Customer needs assistance in sporting goods, but I'm the customer.
Yeah, wanted to let him know.
Need customer assistance in sporting goods, by the way, I'm the customer. Yeah.
Customer needs assistance in sporting goods, but I'm the customer.
All right, follow this. This is what you call making big money. According to one analysis, Jerry Seinfeld made about $13,000 for every line he delivered in the final season of Seinfeld. And that's just his salary. If you add this into his share of syndication money, he made about 30 grand every line he went through on the entire run of the show. So here's 90 seconds of Jerry Seinfeld in season 5. This is $330,000 worth of work from Jerry Seinfeld.
You know, since you agreed to wear the puffy shirt on the Today Show, she's getting all these orders from boutiques and department stores.
Uh-huh. Since I what?
Agreed to wear the puffy shirt.
What are you talking about?
When you said that you would agree to wear the puffy shirt on the Today Show. This?
Yeah.
I agreed to wear this?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when did I do that?
When we went to dinner the other night.
What, are you crazy?
What were you talking about when I went to the bathroom?
I don't know. I couldn't understand a word she was saying. I was just nodding.
There you go.
Where'd I go? You mean she was asking me to wear this ridiculous shirt on national TV and I said yes?
Yes, yes, you said it.
But I didn't know what she was talking about. I couldn't hear her.
Well, she asked you.
I can't wear this puffy shirt on TV. Look at it. It looks ridiculous.
Well, you gotta wear it now. All those stores are stocking it based on the condition that you're going to wear this on the TV show. The factory in New Jersey is already making them.
They're making these?
Yes, yes. This pirate trend that she's come up with, Jerry, this is going to be the new look for the 90s. You're going to be the first pirate.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
$330,000 right there.
We're saying, what?
Yep.
Huh? You're kidding.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I can do that.
Ah, this Bill Shatner, something else. Yesterday was April 25th, the perfect date, according to Miss Rhode Island in the movie Miss Congeniality. Bill Shatner did a promotion about it for Match.com. He's in his 80s.
Hey, Miss Rhode Island. Who knew that your response was going to turn into a national holiday? The perfect date. Remember? Not too hot, not too cold, just bring a light jacket. And to think that it was 20 years ago that I asked that question. Well, I'm back, and I've teamed up with Match to ask that same iconic question. What is your perfect date? So, I'll be monitoring all day long, and I'll be calling out some of my favorites. You can expect that. And one of you will win some cash to help make that the perfect date. So tag the tag, post the posts, do the darn thing, and have a perfect date, and don't forget to bring your light jacket.
April 25th.
Yeah. Perfect date, light jacket, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Astley, with a 200-person choir in Toronto.
We've known each other for so long.
For so long.
Your heart's been aching,
but you're too shy to say it.
Inside, we both know what's been going on.
Going on.
We know the game and we're
gonna play it.
Now. If you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too
glad to see.
I'm never gonna give you up. I'm never gonna let you down. Never gonna run. I'm never gonna make you cry. Never gonna shake.
goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. No, I'm never gonna give you up. I'm never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. I'm never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
It's great. Song made me so angry.
Yep, you and me both, because we played the hell out of it.
We were forced to play that song on Top 40 radio, and it just crushed your soul every time you had to hit that button.
Mick Fleetwood's in a new interview talking about the parting of ways with Lindsey Buckingham leading into their tour.
It became just a huge impasse and hit a brick wall where we decided that we had to part company. Lindsey has huge amounts of respect and kudos to what he's done within the ranks of Fleetwood Mac, and always will. But it's like a marriage that came to an end, and there are reasons why. And as a band, we needed to move on, and we have.
Our main man, Eddie Money.
Hold on a second.
What?
So that was Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Did they get anything from Lindsey Buckingham on that?
Not in that particular interview.
Well, you know what happens to a lot of bands that way, Stan.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of a divorce.
No, but it's, you couldn't done this before. Has he ever? Well, no. Quit the band before?
No, but it's, you can't understand that, like, in the world of rock and roll, there are certain changes that sometimes occur. And you've just got to sort of roll with them, I mean, this, you read that, you saw exactly how many people have been in this band over the years. 37 people have been in this band over the years. I mean, it's like, 6 months from now, I can't see myself missing Nige any more than I might miss Ross McLaughness or Ronnie Pudding or Danny Upham or Danny Schindler and any of those,
I can't believe that, you're lumping Nigel in with... These people that you played with for a short period of time.
Well, I'm sure I'd feel much worse if I weren't under such heavy sedation, but...
Yeah.
They shan't work together again.
No. Our main man, Eddie Money, in a new interview with Rolling Stone...
Now, this is about his reality show that's on the Japanese wrestling channel?
He's on the reality show, but now he's getting attention that he never... got before
from being on Japanese wrestling.
Now they're Rolling Stones interviewing him.
Why?
Well, he says he doesn't like singing Walk on Water. He said he especially hates the na 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 part. Apparently it was supposed to be played on a horn originally, but the musician missed the session, so Eddie had to do it vocally.
But if I could walk on water, and if I could find some way to prove, if I could walk on water, would you believe?
That's what's great about rock and roll. Eddie Money's a star.
Yep. Love is so true. He's mad about that. He hates this song.
Na-na-nas are great. Yep. We have proven this in the past.
All right, millennials.
Don't lump them all together.
You that are in your 30s, well, they want to be lumped together for this. Because there's going to be a new reboot of one of your favorite shows of all time.
Who invented the telephone? How often is a leap year? What do hobbits like to eat most of all?
We dare them. Double dare. Physical challenge.
Find your mark. Get set. Go!
Yes, it's double dare.
You got it! You got it! I don't believe it. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah! Double dare. Double dare. Double dare.
They're going to be rebooting Double Dare. They don't know if Mark Summers is going to be hosting yet. Still haven't announced the host. But millennials around the globe are pumped for Double Dare. Wait, even D-Train, look at him nodding. He loves it.
I told you we shouldn't have done this radio thing. We should have started a good kid show, and we'd be sitting pretty right about now.
Grab bag.
See, take a couple of decades off, then they miss you. Yeah. See, that's what we've done wrong. We have just stayed on the air and stayed steadily employed when, if you go away, that's big news.
Yep.
And then when you come back, it's woo! Yeah. But if you just stay there and do your job,
it becomes expected. And then you're ignored.
Taken for granted.
We'll be back.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin, feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Together, it makes the Stan and Haney program.
A lot of excitement there.
A lot of thrill. Phone lines are open right now. 277-9600. It's a 239 area code. You can take your phone calls this time of day. Find out what's on your mind. If you contribute, you could get a prize. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win when we play the game. What makes you creepy? We're talking about, you know, people creepy. There are traits that people have that other people look at them and they say, you're creepy. You identify one of those and you could wind up being a big winner. 4 o'clock safe word could get you a thou. And then later on today, our question of the week. 277-9600. Before we do that, do you have a goodies?
Oh, I sure do. And I've got the good flavor back in stock.
Good. Because
I know I slipped you a cool orange the other day, and normally I go with the berry blast. You all right?
I've got a little bit of a headache. Well, it's been a long week for me.
It's been a very trying week for you. We didn't see it coming.
No, but it happens every, you know. And then I put the kibosh on D-Train. He lost his voice. So if you're calling in to...
And you think we got bad grandpa answering phones today, it's still him.
Yes, but he's lost his voice. And he's very raspy.
What are we going to do? He's lost his voice. You've lost your mind.
Yes!
I've lost hope.
Yep. And here we are. Somehow, the three of us together.
Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha. And I think, you know, with all those qualities, it works. 277-9600.
Any of us individually, forget about it.
Ah, disaster.
But you combine our flaws.
It's magic. Absolute magic. You got some background music while I take my goodies?
Yeah,
so hold on. Because I can't. Oh, you got one too. I just need just a little bit of background music while I take this.
Oh, D-Train wants one, too.
He could use one. Thank you, Haney. Did I get it all out of there? I want the full dose. Yeah. 277-9600.
It's tonight, so can I talk about it?
What's tonight? What's on tonight?
I mean, it's on network television.
What is on Oh, the draft. Look, we can talk about it tomorrow after we know.
Look.
Unless there's somebody jumping up in a position and there's a big trade.
That's why I wanted to talk about it, just briefly.
All right, what?
I predict that the NFL draft, it's going to be the first round tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the wildest first round that we've seen in a long time. And you can check me on this tomorrow. I am predicting right now a minimum of 6 quarterbacks going in the first round.
Write it down, D-Train.
Lots of trades, QBs. Lots of movement.
All right. We have Shula's Steakhouse. We have Edible Arrangements. We have an HD car tuner for your car. We have Miracle Tickets, Stan Bobblehead signed by Haney. I will not put pen to bobblehead. I'm sorry. And $20 to Bernie's City Diner if you contribute and we award you a prize. Who's to say? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, fellas. It's Jason from Cape Coral.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, so I don't want to start a rabbit hole or anything.
Yeah,
but
well, then why do you want? Then why do you want?
No, go ahead, do it.
Why do you want to? If you don't want to,
I have to ask though, because you guys are talking about the Bill Cosby thing.
Yes,
and it kind of really like grinds my goat because all this stuff, like, let's be honest, more than likely was consensual, like you were talking about
yes.
back in the day, and they can get him on charges like this. But all this stuff that we have proof of Hillary, and we can't do anything about
I
it.
I know,
like,
yeah. And the juice is on the loose.
And right, where does it stop?
And that grinds your goat?
I meant grind my gears. That's
all right, buddy. I understand.
No, I like that. I'd not heard that before.
Can I get you something?
I'll take something to eat.
All right. We'll get you 20 to Bernie City
and
Diner.
Congratulations, by the way. You're sane.
Yeah, hold on. line one. What, you looked at me kind of funny. Well, hold it. What were you thinking? He gave me a look.
You know what I'd like him to do?
What?
Can you just, because I know your voice is very weak and you can't talk a lot, but can you just say to Stan, I'm looking for my grandson. Have you seen him?
Oh, shut that off. Shut it off and let's go. Go ahead.
Pardon me. I'm looking for my grandson. Have you seen him? And while you're at it, get the hell off my lawn.
Okay. That is a good one. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan and Andy, it's Fraser.
Hey Fraser. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Not bad. We're still here and doing the show. The big question is, what's going on with you?
Oh, I got some news for you guys. Recently, I told you how I met my current girlfriend a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, she just completed her course at National Aviation Academy and got hired at Disney as a roller coaster technician.
What?
Yeah.
What? Now wait a second. She went to school, right?
Yes.
She went to National Aviation?
Yeah, that's flying planes. How did she get a job? What do you have to do to run a roller coaster at Disney? I think you hit the go button and the stop button, don't you?
She's working behind the scenes. She's going to be fixing it all. National Aviation Academy teaches you everything you need to know so you can get requirements to work on that kind of a thing.
You know, she is a fine young lady, and now she knows that you know us. She sent me a private message.
Yeah.
Was very polite about it, but basically thought that he was full of...
Well, it's not. We've known him since he was a baby.
So
I
hope that I did you a solid there, Fraser, and I said everything you wanted me to say.
You did all right.
His dad brought him up to us at a remote when he was an infant. And how old are you now, Fraser?
20, going to be 21 in about 4 months.
And God, he's got a. She's a very nice girl.
Yes, but she's a lucky girl too to have this guy right here.
Absolutely,
Fraser. Good talking to you, buddy.
Good talking to you too, guys.
He's one. He's one of the special ones.
Yes, he is.
277.
That's our boy.
Yep, it's true. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Well, I thought we were calling in about. Sleazy guys.
What? No, you don't even know. See, you don't listen. You don't listen, do you? You don't listen.
No, I couldn't.
No, that's right. I just... Haney and I are in the communication business. And if you can't comprehend what we're saying, right now, open phones... This allows everybody, you don't have to play a game. It's whatever's on your mind.
Like the NFL draft.
Like the NFL draft, or not.
Playoff hockey?
Playoff.
No.
Playoff.
Well, that's poison. That is broadcast poison.
With playoff hockey.
Oh, you're so wrong there.
Oh, hold on. Sidebar with Haney. Okay. Because that's what they like to do.
No, but it's the day of. Yeah. I haven't said much about it.
Tomorrow. Look, tomorrow, I can tell you, tomorrow we're going to have a grab bag.
It's no fun.
It's going to have the picks.
Don't you understand? I want to make predictions.
Then you can... That's another one of them mock drafts.
No, it's not.
Oh, I predict.
I'm not talking about specific players. I'm saying it'll be a historic draft.
I believe you.
At least six quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. Lots of trades.
And we've got it marked down.
Thank you.
So tomorrow, you're going to be proven, and we'll all say right again.
Just like on election eve.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Do you still have that tape, D-Train?
On election eve.
Because we're finishing up the show, and it's like around 5:30, and
give
I go...
Give me a date.
What?
Give me a date.
Oh, jeez. This
well,
is...
it was November 4th.
I can't take him seriously.
I know.
Wasn't
like election
that.
Day November 4th?
So find the first Tuesday 3rd. In November.
First Tuesday in November, the day before... Or no, that day... Last break of the show, he made his prediction.
And I remember you you said...
I wanted it to happen so badly,
said,
but I thought the fix was in.
You said, Haney, I would love for that to happen, but it's not gonna.
No, because the fix was in. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is John.
Hey, John.
Hey, Stan, how you doing?
Good, buddy,
hey,
what's up?
I was wondering what your thoughts were on this ESPN coming out the day before the draft on this quarterback. 15 or 16 years old, sent a text into ESPN about Stephen A. Smith, who I know a lot of people could care less to hear about him, and just the way he's so ignorant, but called it the N-word, I guess. And
oh, my God. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they brought it up today. You know, of course, how good it works out for the, you know, ESPN, but big news now. Now they're going to lose. He might not be the overall number one draft. He's probably going to lose millions of dollars because he said something or texted something.
What kid was this?
What's his name?
That's Josh. I can't think of his last name.
Rosen?
Cleveland was supposed to take him, so that's who it was.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen. That's
guy from Wyoming.
Yep.
Oh, man. We're going to check into it.
See? It's starting.
Yeah,
and you're gonna see that. I mean, that happened back when Marino was drafted. The Dolphins were already, you know, a playoff Super Bowl team. They're picking at the bottom of the first round. They got Marino because right around the draft.
Marijuana.
Oh, it was cocaine.
Hey, let me ask you this though. This Allen. So you're telling me now, and we have to be careful. He used the N-word on Stephen A. Smith.
Yes, and supposedly...
Was it live on the air, or was it a text, or what was it?
Yeah, he texted it in, they said, to ESPN. Now, I don't know if it was directly to Stephen A., but, you know, like I said, he was 15, 16 years old.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. He's in the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he was when he said
it. Oh, so he was disguising himself as a 15-year-old.
No.
No, that's how long ago it was.
Oh, well, then that's... So when he was
a teenager,
all these years ago, it comes up now.
Exactly.
On the night of the draft.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That nice.
Oh, I appreciate you for telling us that. Can we get you something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you have any of those passes to the Fort Rock. I'd love to get that.
No, I don't. That's Zito's been going all.
That ship sailed, hasn't it?
All those places was giving away, and it's this weekend. I don't have Fort Rock. I have Shula's. I have edible arrangements. I have an HD tuner for your car. I have a miracle game tickets. Stan Bobblehead or Bernie City Diner.
I'll tell you what. We'll do the Shula's.
You got it, buddy. Hold on.
Thanks
see,
a lot, guys.
That's the kind of stuff that happens. Just like when was 2 years ago, the guy that the Dolphins ended up taking was supposed to go top three, and then they see him with a gas mask smoking pot.
Yeah, I remember.
I can't believe they're doing that to this guy.
So he's 18, 19 now. No, 22 now. And something he did 7 years ago as a punk kid, and the day before the draft it comes out.
That's how these things happen.
I'm sure he's not too proud of it. You know, and here's the other thing, Henny, and you say it. Once you put something on the internet, it's always there.
And that wasn't even...
it was an email to him. Always there.
But, my God, do you know the money involved if that causes him to drop?
Yeah. All right, we're going to...
Well, and you remember the Cowboys ended up signing him. It was an offensive lineman from LSU. La'el Collins was his name and was like a lock to be a first-round pick, certainly no later than second round. And there was a murder in Louisiana, and I guess it was his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, and everybody knew that he didn't do it, but he was under investigation.
All right.
And he ended up not being drafted at all. And the difference between being a first-round draft pick and an undrafted free agent, I mean, you're talking about you'll be making, as an undrafted free agent, you make the team, you'll be making a couple of $1,000s. Whereas in the first, you're talking about millions.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's all, whether it's politics or big-time sports, it's all corrupt. They're all corrupt.
And you wonder who's behind it. Because the funny thing is, when rumors like these come out, it's generally from a team that wants him.
Yep. Yeah, that's all. It's big football. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you
and
a chance
you know
to win. Yes.
That doesn't need to... Sports is supposed to be fun.
Yes, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertainment.
Sports is where we're supposed to go to not worry about
these
things.
You're not supposed to be taking a knee during the anthem. You're not supposed to get political during the whole damn thing. You're not supposed to be corrupt. It's supposed to be about fun.
That's what it's supposed to be about. We're supposed to be having fun.
Safe word at 4 o'clock. Chance to win when we come back. We're Stan and Haney.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Safe word in about 23 minutes. Half hour away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Hour away from our question of the week. D-Train handed me this, and before we play the game, give you a chance to win here. I gotta read this story because I've been preaching this. You know, I've been preaching this, and nobody listens. They all listen to Haney, and how cute they are.
What? They all listen to Haney and how cute they are?
You'll see what I'm talking about. I've warned you. They're not your friend. Dateline Tampa, Florida. Right up the road. A woman said she was attacked by a raccoon on Tuesday after letting her friend's dog out in the backyard lanai. This is vicious. Gabrielle Luig said the raccoon attacked her 3 times. Quote, "It was the most excruciating pain. I grabbed him and just threw him. He came right back and attacked another part of my leg."
I wonder what that sounded like.
Mean one. Luig said she went to her friend's home on Red Cliff Drive in the Eastbrook subdivision of Tampa to let the dog out. She saw the coon over there by the pool in the lanai. She said it came up to her and sniffed her. She said he was not foaming at the mouth. He was not acting weird. Just came up and started sniffing her. She said she stayed still, and then it attacked her without warning. She adds, I screamed at the top of my lungs. I was embarrassed, but there was no neighbor that could hear me scream, I guess. She said she scooped up the dog and escaped into the home through a sliding glass door. I threw it shut. The raccoon showed up at the door and threw himself against the glass door, wanting to get in.
I wonder what that sounded like.
He was not going to stop.
Aww.
She was bitten 15 times and needed stitches after the attack. Now, of course, Hillsborough County Health Department will go and lecture her. Said she should have contained the animal inside that lanai. Here's the scary part. The raccoon has not been caught. And it's too late now to determine if the raccoon that bit her was rabid. what else? Yeah, she admits, now that I think about it, I should have probably contained him, got the health department, but there was no rational thinking when that coon was attacking. She worries about the neighbors and the small children in the neighborhood.
That's just one rogue coon.
Come on.
That would be like judging all of humanity on the actions of Maxine Waters.
Now, Sorry, I can't handle that.
You got a story you had to do. I have a story I have to do.
Okay.
And I wonder if it works both ways. A Manhattan judge ruled yesterday that kicking a Trump supporter out of a bar does not violate the law because the law does not protect against political discrimination. Greg Piatek of Philadelphia says he was refused service and eventually removed from a New York City bar in January 17 because he was wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Kanye can wear it. Nobody bothers him.
The wait staff said to him, anyone who supports Trump or believes in what you believe is not welcome here, and you need to leave right now because we won't serve you. So the judge ruled they're perfectly within their rights. My question is, if somebody comes in wearing Black Lives Matter or Hillary for America, would it still be the same?
You would think under his ruling it would be, but it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So, I think somebody needs to test that law.
So if you wear a Make America Great Again hat, you've lost any rights you might have.
That's, again, New York, Waylib, a judge probably appointed by Obama or Clinton. I think it's ridiculous. I don't know. That was wrong. And I would make all inquiries and sue to the furthest extent of the law.
And there are videos all over the place.
I know.
Where the handful of kids in college that get it, they go like to the campus bookstore and they're wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And they are brutally harassed and told they basically have no rights. You can't be here. You're offending people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man.
We're living in strange times. Very strange times.
Because you support the President of the United States, people are allowed to kick you out of public places.
Because you don't think the same way. What happened to free thought? A right to have your own opinion about something? I don't... You know, people think that this is something new. You know, years ago, if you were gay or you were a liberal or you were a conservative, you didn't go around blabbing it out and, hey, look at me, to start controversy. This has been going on since the beginning of time, but people, keep your private lives to yourself. Don't go and force your opinions on anybody else.
So you agree with the judge?
Live your life. No. I can put a hat on or anything I want. I'm not preaching. I'm not standing up on a soapbox. I'm going into a place to get a bite to eat and have a cold beer.
Do you have a hat?
I do.
Because I never got one.
I do have one.
You're not using it, are you?
Do you want it?
Yeah, because you won't wear it.
I keep it nice so that it's not... No, I got to keep it.
But I'm don't wear it.
I'm sure somebody has a hat that they'd like you to have.
But you told me that you thought about wearing it, and you thought, oh, I probably shouldn't.
I'd get beat up. You know, the only time I felt safe was walking the streets, because that's where I got your button, Arcadia. Mm-hmm. No worries there. That's
all good?
Yeah, all good.
But then at the same time...
Here, you can get one right there. Made with the American flag right on the side.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have all of this where if all you do is take in the corporate media, everybody that has any sense knows that we've got a madman. We need to impeach
that's
him.
Part of the whole.
But then
thing.
You go and you look. Everywhere he goes, he draws thousands of cheering people.
Because it's the media and the far left that is doing this. Most of America still respects the president of the United States. And I say this with you about hand-wringing. If this is obsessing with you on either side, if you're obsessed with this, you wake up in the morning and you think about how you want to bring down the president of the United States or humiliate him, or you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, geez, these people are just out to get him, but most of them, if you wake up every day and think that, there's a problem.
No, what you should be thinking is...
What am I having for breakfast, and what do I got to deal with at work? Because am I going to be stuck in another effing meeting, and I can't wait to get out of here so I can go home and sit on my sofa and feel safe.
That's what you should be thinking. You go back just a couple of years for people who are now celebrating Trump. Those people were going down a bad road. This is not good. I cannot wait until 2016, and we'll make our voices heard. It was not impeach Obama.
What color hat would Haney like? I'll get him one next week. I've got a new one for Stan as well. What color you want?
Well, they're red.
Not according to that. You can pick a color that you want. And our texter said you can pick a color. But you want red. You want the official one, right?
Look at that guy. Why would they kick him out?
He's fine because he had that hat on. Because people don't keep their opinions to themselves. You know what? It used to be the sanctity of the voting booth. I remember... Yeah, I'm not doing this. I remember back when I was a kid. 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, somewhere around there. What was the 72 election? 68. 68, I was 7, 6. 72 election, I was 10. And I remember being in my household. My mom at the time was a Democrat. My dad at the time was a Wallace Republican.
A Wallace Republican.
Yeah, a Dixiecrat. Living in Connecticut. And I remember my father saying to my mother, who did you vote for? And my mother saying to him, that's none of your business. And I'm the king of the household. I demand to know who you voted for. And I remember her saying, do you ask anybody else that? Because you're not supposed to go and tell anyone. That's your own private decision to make. And I remember my mom explaining to me, because back in those days, you had this big lever and you closed a curtain. And then you had these little switches. You could pull the big switch and vote all Dem or
the
all
ticket, yeah.
or all Republican. Or if you had individual choices, you pulled down each lever. And then when you pulled the bar back to open up the curtain, all the levers went back up and your vote was counted. And I remember her saying, that is the privacy. I said, why can't we look in there and see what's going on? Because I remember her voting and you're just seeing her feet and I'm standing outside waiting for her. You're not supposed
to. You
want
to know what happened.
It is the
what
most.
What goes on behind
yeah,
that curtain.
Yeah, I did want to know. She explained, it's one of the most personal things that you have to do. You vote your heart and what you feel you need to do. And nobody, but nobody, should judge you for who you voted for. And you don't have to tell anybody who you voted for. And I'm saying a lot of this with the pollsters and all that stuff. Well, did you vote for Trump? People were afraid to admit they voted for him because the media or the perception, the small squeaky wheels would go and start a big whole controversy. Let me tell you something. You got to realize in the 1960s when you had Barry Goldwater going against Lyndon Johnson, you had apparently everybody thought Goldwater was a hawk and it was going to start World War III, and you had Johnson escalating stuff in Vietnam, and who did you vote for? Oh, you went and voted. And Goldwater got his ass kicked, and in the long run, you knew he was right.
AU6H2O.
I don't understand this. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're gay or straight. I don't care if, whatever you feel like doing, as long as it doesn't involve kids. Do what you want.
That's a pretty broad brush there, Stan.
Do what you want.
But don't involve kids.
It's darn right. They're minors. They're not in control. Right, French President Macaroon? So, leave it. Do it. But don't go and carry a big sign. Don't go and do the, hey, look at me. And if I don't choose to live that lifestyle or that decision that you think is appropriate, don't tear me up because I don't think the same way you do. Now, you can protest. You can do anything you want.
But you do think the same way I do.
The way you do. Yes. Justy, just stop forcing people. College universities. They should be open ground for anybody that chooses to speak. And they should not be shouted down. They should not be driven out of town. They should not be threatened. Speak. I do not, you could be somebody, I don't agree with a single thing you have to say.
That
but
works.
I'm going to give you your right to speak.
It works that way as long as you're on one side of the equation.
Yeah, at that particular
You can have a hardcore communist terrorist sympathizer come and speak at a college and nobody will bat an eye.
Yeah.
But you have Stan scheduled to speak and he'll be wearing a Make America Great Again
and
cap.
Shout me down.
If you're allowed to even get in.
The thing is that the people that are making these decisions, back in the 1960s, you fought on college universities to allow everyone to speak.
No, they were fighting for their ideology.
And that was it.
Yeah. Under the guise of free speech.
Right.
Now free speech isn't beneficial to them.
It's gone completely spun around. And it's a shame. If I want to go and make America great and wear a hat like that, I should have every right to. If somebody wants to go and wear a Black Lives Matter shirt or Hillary in 2020, go ahead.
But that's my
point.
Don't
go and start preaching me because I am not going along with that.
I just don't see that happening on the other side of things. I don't see the owner of an establishment who may be a dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter kicking people out of his business.
Wouldn't happen.
They're spending money.
We got to take a break because I got a safe word coming up. I'd stay by your radio. I feel a little better, but not really.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's D-Train here. I want to thank you all for being committed Stan and Haney podcast listeners, and would love to invite you to check out the other podcasts brought to you by Beasley Broadcasting. Check out Hellbound with Jeff Zito, my World War II-based podcast, What's the Scuttlebutt Podcast, and the all-new Waterman and D-Train Show. And you can find all of these podcasts on the 96KROQ app that you can download from your app store, or simply go to 96krock.com.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998, and that's the truth. Stan and Haney on 96KROQ.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Safe word for 4 o'clock. You still got time. Please, don't text it to the radio station. Don't text it to me. There's a special dedicated text number.
You ever feel like you're just wasting your breath?
Yeah, I am. I truly am. Matter of fact, we had one person text into the studio the safe word, which is hands, H-A-N-D-S, complete with the name and his phone number. It's not going to do you any good. You have to text the word to 40772, or you can enter it on 96krock.com.
Haney, what about the GTE mobile net?
No. Remember those days? Haney and I would like to see you have a chance. And if you're sending it to us, you're not getting a chance. Text it to 40772 or enter it on 96krock.com. You have about 7 minutes to get it in. Hands, H-A-N-D-S, hands, 40772. That's the number.
Nobody's paying attention.
Well, then they don't win. Then they don't win, or at least have a chance to win, I should say. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. By the way, 30 minutes away from our question of the week.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. We have a crash, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway in Treeline Avenue. Remember, Haney, when Treeline Avenue was a new road and nobody knew about it?
It was great for a while.
It was great. Also, Fort Myers crash, Ben Hill Griffin Parkway, and Miramar Lakes Boulevard West. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. You want to know what's coming up? Well, Haney's about to tell you because he has today's headlines for you right now.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. You familiar with the term helicopter parent?
No, what's a helicopter parent?
Well, it's when people overparent kids, they don't allow them to make mistakes or figure out anything for themselves.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Well, those same original helicopter parents, your baby boomers, are at it again. They're now becoming helicopter children and controlling every aspect of their parents' lives.
Jeez.
The University of Utah has announced a new feature for students.
Yeah.
They've installed a cry closet in the library.
And guess what? If I was around there, I'd give you a reason to use the cry closet, all right?
I know you would. And God bless you.
Yep. You don't need it now. If I was there, you would.
If you need some hard truths, Just reach out to Stan.
You know what, Haney, and I'm not necessarily proud of this, but in our 50-some-odd years, each of us, we've made a few people cry.
Most of the time, not intentionally.
Right, right.
I'd say more so me.
Because are you saying that I probably made more people intentionally cry?
Than I did.
Okay.
It's still a small number, but I mean...
All right, I'll buy that.
You have my... I know you have my back on this, because I would say to them, why are you making me do this to you?
Yep.
You're never going to win. Just stop it. I don't want to do this to you.
And what happened? They wound up crying.
Yep.
Have to go to the crying closet.
But I warned them.
Yep.
I practically begged them, don't do it. And then you're right, it was off to the cry closet.
Yep.
Something you know a little bit about.
What?
Two long-lost brothers found out they were students at the same college.
Go figure.
Siblings coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, out of the woodwork.
More than you need.
Oh, yeah. By about four.
Gentlemen, a company in Japan has just designed a new boxer brief with a signature feature. It's designed to help you breathe.
I like it already.
A woman posts a glowing review of eyeliner that didn't run after her horrific car accident.
Well, Tammy Faye Baker. You know, wake up in the morning, pillowcase like the Shroud of Turin.
Yep. Color eye Shroud of Turin. A bunch of clowns been sleeping in my bed.
What? Yep.
And finally... 24-year-old Kiana Wallace.
Hey, Kiana.
Outsmarted herself.
She did.
She used someone else's pee for a drug test, and it was positive.
Oh, geez.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Can I tell you how important it is today for laughter? 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone.
What? D-Train?
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
Ah!
Yeah.
Can you ask Stan again about your grandson?
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Have you seen my grandson? And for the second time, get off my damn lawn. Son of a bitch.
Kids today, huh?
Yeah, go figure.
It is a crying shame what they have done to Admiral Ronnie Jackson.
Yep.
He has been accused of drinking on the job, despite really no evidence.
No. Now, if they want to look into Haney and I.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the...
Top.
Signs your doctor has a drinking problem.
Top signs your doctor has a drinking problem.
He asks your twin sister to wait out in the reception area, and you're alone.
Have you been drinking today?
Maybe. I deserve it.
Listens to your heartbeat with a funnel. Gets distracted easily and writes prescriptions on cocktail napkins.
I don't know, I'm too drunk.
Tells you to take 2 aspirin and call him noon at the earliest.
I love it.
Tells you to read off the first 3 lines of the eye chart, but he's pointing to a poster of reproductive organs.
Who wants to see another belly flop?
Me. Ask you to blow into a breathalyzer that's locking his medicine cabinet.
Shuttlecock.
Hard to hear the medical advice over the sound of the margarita blender. He checks your reflexes by challenging you to swipe the half-empty bottle of Michelob from his hand. When you walk in, you find him giving himself an IV.
What?
And finally, the very top sign your doctor has a drinking problem.
Yes.
Grabs his own genitals before asking you to cough. It's him.
There he is.
I am Captain Chaos.
And that, my friends,
this is the 4 o'clock.
Same bat tomorrow. Same bat time. Same bat channel.
That's it, baby.
That's it.
Yeah. Email time. Ahoy@stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy@stanandhaney.com.
You all right?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I am a little lightheaded.
Okay.
Either I'm running a fever. What's the temperature in here?
68.
66, please.
I don't like that.
Well, no.
It used to be my favorite temperature, 69, but it doesn't take the humidity out of here anymore.
Nah, and everybody else complains that it's like ice cold in here.
Well,
they're dressed in like North Face parkas.
You know what happens? When you're working, you sweat.
Yep. Okay. And if you're not, you get cold.
Yep.
You flop, sweat, and pieces.
Don't even. Ahoy, gentlemen.
You just vaulted over a line.
I don't care.
Nobody does.
Nope. Rob here, gentlemen. Just wanted to let you know that I just received my Stan and Haney Afternoons t-shirt in the mail today.
Woo!
They are sharp looking. He took a picture of it. Comfortable cotton, not itchy at all. I think it was a great price as well. And I'll be wearing it proudly. P.S. It does make me look a lot slimmer, too, because it's all black.
Mm-hmm.
All the best, guys. Signed, Rob. Still available on our website. Mm-hmm. Ahoy@stanandhaney.com, and you can get the...
Stan, I have a gentleman here. He's looking for his grandson.
That's stanandhaney.com. I'm sorry. What? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir. Have you seen a small boy about this high blonde hair with a frisbee? For the third time. Get off my damn lawn.
He was telling me his mother got locked up and he's taking him across the country to his father.
Yeah, she's with a bad element.
This is from our buddy Billy Midget.
Who?
Billy Midget. Ahoy, gentlemen. Let me begin by saying I've been a Dolphins fan since the first football game I watched at the age of 6 back in 1971, when my dad told me I wasn't allowed to like the team in red. I had to like the white team. Despite a 46-year love-hate relationship, I will be a fan until I take my final breath. That being said, it's once again time for the DDD Day. The Dolphins draft debacle day. But I have hope, providing they don't trade down, they should get an immediate impact player, or possibly, in my opinion, the best QB in Josh Rosen. I will...
Now that's somebody that knows football.
Yep. I will face this weekend with unfettered optimism and hope, trusting this is the year we get that guy. For the first time since 1983. If by a miracle they can get, how do you say, Roquan Smith, Derwin James, or Minka Fitzpatrick, it'll be a worthy celebration. All the best. Haney for Dolphins GM, your pal Billy Midget.
Oh, I'd turn it around in a hurry.
No, I'm not there yet. I just literally had to clear my throat.
Oh, what was that? A soft cue?
No, that was... When I get to the next... Not that. Shucky ducky.
That was a warning shot.
This is from Cheryl. Interesting story. Ahoy, guys. I have a really... ignorant person to report to you about. It should be a good topic.
I was at a retail store in Northport over the weekend, and while standing in line to check out, in another line there were two women talking. They were Trump and Pence haters and complaining about the country's problems. Of course, everything that disrupts their daily life of shopping and spending their money and doing lunches at the country club is Trump's fault. One lady said the recent attacks our military had done were for no reason other than a legal way to murder people. The second lady said the only reason people join the military is to be able to murder people legally. There has got to be a way to stop all of this violence. OMG, it was all I could do to keep myself from walking over to the both of them and punching them both in the mouth. I was outraged. I was shaking in anger. I walked away from my buggy and immediately left the store. I never understood why one person would attack another, and I am not a physically violent person, but that day made me see the whole light of the meaning TKO. My dad and all of my uncles were veterans. I have three cousins that are retired military and two disabled from fighting in Iraq and Iran. One of our friends died in Iraq making food drops to starving civilians. None of my family members are legal murderers. They were serving our country for the greater good of all. What an ignorant thing to say, and what a kind of sheltered, out-of-touch reality they are living in. People can be stupid and beyond. Thank you, signed, Cheryl.
Cheryl, that was not pleasant, but very well done.
Yep.
Those ladies, she's right when she says sheltered. They're so self-centered.
Yes, it's me, 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 me.
They do not have any kind of a grasp on reality. And I think that many people can be that way. Take those ladies, and at first I was going to say, you know, drop them in the middle of Syria and let them see what goes on in this world and the evil that is out there and how cheap life is in other places. And I thought, you know what? It doesn't have to be even Syria. Drop them in Belgium. Drop them in Molenbeek, where the Muslims have taken over there, and let them complain. Let them see just how much they're worth. It's like they don't understand that there are people out there that wish us harm. If they could kill us, they would.
Can I give you a good example about what this country is at right now? Somebody just texted because they're watching the Cosby stuff going on. Get a load of this. We're a nation of laws, and you're supposed to be convicted by a jury of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, one of the Cosby accusers just thanked the media for helping to convict Bill Cosby. WTF. Mm-mm-mm. The Guardian.
Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Okay, can you stop
Jesus.
That? Can
Jesus.
You just, thank you. All right, gentlemen. Guys, I got my T-shirt yesterday. I put a picture of it on your Facebook page. Thank you. We know what it looks like. Thank you. How did you... Now, did you see Comey's interview with Anderson Cooper on the fake news channel? While he did ask a couple of tough questions, most of them were softball questions. Comey seems to be very confused on what's classified and what's not.
Uh-huh.
Well, tonight at 6 p.m., he's going to be on Fox with Brett Baer. And we'll be interviewing him. By the way, Brett Baer hangs out around here sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's fine, but what I'd really like to see is for Comey to sit down with Greg Jarrett.
Yes. Yes.
See, Hannity would be too over the top.
Yep.
Bear will play it straight. But Jarrett, he's right in the pocket
And he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back.
And did you see that Comey has lawyered up?
Yeah, of course. He better.
Ironically, his legal team is all the people he was leaking to. So now he'll claim attorney-client privilege.
He'll try.
That's sacred, you know.
Our question of the week is next. We're Stan and Haney. 96K Rock.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney and the news coming up in about 30 minutes. In just a second, we're going to pose to you our question of the week. It's not a yes or no answer. You have your own story. We'll also check traffic, but my head's spinning with all the crapola going around today. D-Train just handed me this. This is a true story, and I know it's true because it comes from the New York Post.
Oh, it's got to be true.
I'll just give you the headline to start before I get into the story. College dropout refuses to leave her dorm room. I am not joking. Hunter College is waging a court battle to evict a stubborn student who refuses to leave her dorm room some 2 years after dropping out of college.
Well, she feels safe there.
Delaware native Lisa S. Palmer, who has not paid rent since 2016, refuses to leave room E579 at the school's co-ed dormitory, according to an eviction lawsuit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court.
Stan?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they physically remove her?
I've got all the details. The 32-year-old has racked up a
32-year-old.
Yes. The 32-year-old has racked up a staggering $94,000 in unpaid resident hall charges on an account of hers, on an account of her continued occupancy, all the while ignoring Hunter College's service of additional vacate notices. As of today, June 7th, 2016, you are still in occupancy of the aforementioned room, said Michelle Kwok, assistant director of resident life. That was two summers ago. Last fall, a Hunter attorney continued to battle to get rid of Palmer, sending her an eviction notice that stated in bold-faced type, 30-day notice of a termination. You are required to vacate and surrender the premises on or before October 31st, 2017 at 12 p.m.
What if she prefers not to?
But the former geography major, who now works at an architectural firm, has refused to budge. Quote, I plan on fighting the lawsuit, and while I fight it, I'm going to stay, she told the New York Post. Outside of her messy 100-square-foot single, which is adorned with a lava lamp, a dream catcher, and piles of dirty dishes. Though school officials say Palmer dropped out, she insists Hunter College refused to let her register for fall classes in 2016 after she disputed her housing and tuition bill. I felt that it was a miscommunication initially, but after I met with the dean, I felt they were starting to treat me unfairly. It was like, get out. Only full-time students who maintain a minimum grade point average and keep current on their room and board fees stay in those dorms. Not Palmer, who first enrolled in Hunter College in 2010, 8 years ago. After a stint at St. John's University in Queens. Dorm life is really lonely for somebody in their 30s. I feel very isolated, she said, noting that Hunter College moved her to a wing that's only occupied by a middle-aged nurse whom the college is also trying to evict. The college wants to boot a total of 9 nurses who were given rooms in various wings of the E building
when it was owned by Bellevue Hospital. The resident nurses include a 67-year-old Dave Frajitas, who kept a dorm room crash pad at that address for decades.
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
If that was you or me.
We would be hauled out. There's her room. If that was you or I,
the sheriff would come in and take us by the scruff of the neck.
In cuffs. And not metal handcuffs. Those zip ties.
How is that possible? I don't get it. You know that's what would happen to us.
Yep. Take a look. They're afraid.
I'm sure they have really stringent squatter rights laws in New York.
I don't know. What? All right.
That's just mind-blowing.
Yep.
What is that a sign of? She's entitled to that room.
Yep. Hasn't paid rent since 2016.
Well, why should she?
$94,000 in back rent.
But nothing happens.
Nope. And she can't even keep it up. Slob. Our question of the week. We are going to pose it to you.
It's just mind-blowing.
I know. You will have your story. This is different for Haney and I, but I think maybe somewhere along the line we have seen or witnessed this. There is nothing worse for certain people than public speaking. Going in front of somebody, a group of people, whether it be at school, whether it be at work, whether it be at a funeral or a wedding, public speaking. When did you have to speak publicly, and how did it go? A lot of people, it's terror to speak, but I'm not talking about, in the privacy of your own home or among friends. Johnson, you're due to give a speech to the committee. Tell us about public speaking and a time you were caught in that situation. When did you have to speak publicly? How did it go? 277-9600. Public speaking. It is not for everyone. 277-9600.
Not that big a deal.
To you and I. Let's get you updated on traffic, and then we'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
All right, we got a couple of crashes. They're showing up in Lehigh Acres. First, Gunnery Road North and Lee Boulevard. And the other one, injuries being reported at this crash. Homer Avenue North and Lee Boulevard.
Anywhere near Marge?
And you are up to date. 277-9600. We're all caught into it every once in a while. Public speaking. It can be terror. Tell us about the time you had to speak publicly. Whether it was at the office meeting, a birthday party, a wedding, a funeral, in front of a group of people. Did it go all right? Was everything okay? 277-9600. Speaking publicly. I was in I don't know if it's a requirement in college now, but it was when I was in school, public speaking. You had to take the course in public speaking. And you had to go in front of the class in college and do a speech, either a persuasive speech, a nominating speech. For me, it was a piece of cake. I aced the course. And I might have even said this story before. We had a football player, UCF football player, big guy. He might have been like a Samoan. Big, just huge.
Mm-hmm.
He was
talking about Tony Rockahar?
Yeah. He was in our class. And each student was going up in front of the auditorium to do their speech. And here's star football player. And he's got his note cards in his hands. And he's sitting there and he's shaking. And I get up and do mine. And he was following me up on the stage. So I finished I did a persuasive speech, I think. I was selling hamburgers or something. And he comes up and he's talking. Well, I don't say talking. There was nothing coming out. He gets up to the lectern. And you can see his knees shaking. This is the football player. He gets his name out and he fell over. And he fainted that he was so nervous to speak in public.
That's crazy.
And you know what? I still get a little butterflies and stuff like that. Especially, you know, you're talking about Fort Rock and all. Going up there, it bothers me until I do it. And then I'm fine. To this day.
Now that's where you do your hand wringing.
Yes, sir.
Before we have to go on stage. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I'm hand wringing.
Get away from me, Haney.
I think as far as you and I, public speaking is not that big of a deal.
The only... I'm horrible at funerals. I get way too emotional.
You and me both.
And it was sad because thinking about my grandmother's funeral, I had all of these wonderful things that I really wanted to say.
But then your head goes crazy.
And I just completely lost it. I couldn't get through it.
D-Train, do you remember the first time you had to publicly speak?
This ain't gonna happen.
He can't talk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
He's just
shovel gorilla crap for a living.
He's still looking for his grandson.
Yeah. Don't make him say it anymore. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Sean.
Sean, public speaking. Tell us about that time.
I got an interesting story. I got kind of roped into doing a life insurance presentation at a wellness expo. And they figure, well, you see the radio, so you're the type of guy, you're not worried about talking in front of people. So I walk out on the stage, and I walk out, and it literally looked like Woodstock had thrown up. It was a type of wellness expo where it was hippies and patchouli oil and and all this stuff. And I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, don't freeze up. Just do your presentation. Do it the way it is. And every time I said a word, another person got up and walked out. And you're talking at this auditorium had maybe like 300 or 400 people. And by the time I got halfway through, there's maybe 20 people left. And I'm doing my thing, and I'm holding my own. I'm like, okay, just get through it. And I hear somebody in the back of the room go, I thought this was going to be life-changing. He's talking about life insurance. Oh, my God. What a waste of time.
277-9600. That's
a confidence builder.
Yeah, that time you had to do some public speaking.
But he held 20 of them there.
Yep. Good for him. 277-9600. Somebody just texted us, by the way, public speaking is still required in college. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Am I on a speakerphone?
No, sir. Nope.
Yes, ma'am. public speaking. Tell us about it.
That would have been my sister's memorial. First time I ever had to get up in front of anybody, and I just looked at her picture the whole time and told the story and, tried to get through it.
But you did get through it, right?
I did get through it. I was proud. I was able to do that.
Well, you're tougher than I am.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, that, for two people like Haney and I that have been in this business for a long time, the most difficult public speaking you can do is when there is emotion involved. meaning a loved one or somebody that you cared about. And that goes for a wedding. That goes for a funeral. That goes for anything where you have a personal, heartfelt investment into what you're saying. Those are the most difficult. And for you to get through it, you did a nice job.
Thank you.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
John Barrett from Bonita Springs.
John, how are you, buddy? Public speaking.
Good. Yeah, I was at a wedding reception one time, and the best man started speaking, and he could not say, he was trying to speak, but could not say a word. And then the husband, the married guy,
the groom,
got up and he joked around a little bit, and then he got to talking again, and he was just dead in the water, could not say a word.
That I've seen that happen at weddings, where you know the best man's got to make that toast, and they get up there and they can't do it. That's why a lot of them have a few cocktails beforehand, not too much though. Then it gets real mouthy.
Yep.
But that is, it's just, and not, and people don't do it every day where you have to go publicly and speak. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Pat in Tallahassee.
Hey, Pat, you're calling us from Tallahassee right now?
Yes, I am, sir.
Do you listen to us regularly?
Yes, I do. And I know I have a stick pin in there for you. I've sent you pictures of the S&H sign.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
That's me.
Oh, fantastic. And thank you for listening.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It makes my afternoon, believe me.
Public speaking.
The first time I had a large audience, I had to deliver a speech at my high school graduation because our principal did not trust our valedictorian.
What? What? The valedictorian, that should be complete trust.
You would think, but not this guy.
And so you went up and made the speech.
I did, and it was in our football stadium, but somebody under the bleachers was shooting off fireworks at the time, and I just had to keep going. My speech coach would not even allow me to have notes, so I had it memorized, and I just kept going.
And you got through it.
I did, and then the second time was when I was a Golden Apple teacher in Lee County. I had to do that TV part of the assignment.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty cool, too.
Well, that sounds like you just dominated everything.
I know.
That's why she's a Golden Apple. That's right. Thank you so much for listening.
Absolutely. I will continue and keep it up.
Thank you. That dawned on me. She's talking about when she's having to give the speech at the graduation. I saw the same thing with John Fogerty when he was up in Tampa playing the amphitheater. And he stopped playing to tell a story about Woodstock and how they had to follow the Grateful Dead at Woodstock. And it went on to the point where they came on at 2:00 in the morning when they were supposed to be on at like 9 CCR. If anybody's been up there to the amphitheater up there, it's a fairgrounds, and they were testing out fireworks, you know, the bombs coming out of the cannon and boom, 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 as he's trying to give this speech about Woodstock. And he tried to shake it off after a few minutes. They must have let these cannons go about 10 times, where finally he completely lost his train of thought and wanted to know what the heck was going on. It can throw you. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, gentlemen. It's Howard. How you doing there?
Howard, how are you? Public speaking.
Well, it wasn't me, but we had an unexpected death in the neighborhood. And I'm trying to put it politely, but the lady had sat in her garage all day and drank Bush Light and smoked. And she got up to give a dissertation, and we all held our breath. Our eyes got big and scared. She was eloquent. She did a very nice job, and we were all surprised. We almost applauded.
Yeah, see, sometimes they'll surprise you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, nobody asked her to say anything before, so she minded her own business, drinking and smoking in her garage. Then somebody asked her to say something, and she was very eloquent.
Soul of a poet.
That's right. Time for a couple of more, maybe. Ahoy, who's this?
Andy.
Andy. Public speaking, Andy.
Oh, man. I did a wedding for some friends from high school, and I was a little bit medicated, if you will. And I kept telling me, don't choke, and I got up there to take my bottle of water. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, we're not doing that today.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, and so you go and make a little toast.
Yeah, and I was a little medicated, and they didn't have a bunch of faith in me and kept telling me, don't choke. And I took my bottle of water up, and I started talking about the bride and the groom, both who I went to school with, and sure enough, there was a yellow jacket in my water bottle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can guess how that went.
Yeah, everybody got a little shower. I got to take a break.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do for somebody that's nervous is pat them on the back and repeatedly tell them, don't choke.
This is big. This is important. You be careful up there now.
Don't choke.
Don't ruin it.
Yep.
Mark Haney and the News is next. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
An almost Nixonian paranoia displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Well, D-Train did some checking for us. If you were listening last break, we told you the story of the woman that was living in the college dorm in New York State and wouldn't leave and hasn't paid her rent since 2016. And
they're picking on her. She probably needs to go to the cry closet.
He found the law about evictions.
What is it, the Pacific Heights Law?
Yeah. New York City and squatters. If a squatter in New York City can prove he's resided in a property for more than 30 days, that's a month, he has the right to continue living there until the legal owner goes through the court process to obtain a legal eviction. This can be a time-consuming matter, taking sometimes more than a year. It is against New York City law to evict anyone immediately, including a squatter. So she's been told to leave. She's in a dorm. She's 30-some-odd years old.
And because the courts are backed up, you can get away with it.
Exactly. The landlords are saying, get out, you have 30 days.
And she goes, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And that's exactly what she's doing. And the courts are backed up. The owner or landlord has to go through the legal
court
process.
And if they try to
remove
her, that's assault.
Yep, and a violation of her rights. Meanwhile, she doesn't pay anything. Wow. Let's get you
things
updated.
Have gone.
Yeah, haywire. Let's get you updated. You know, that law was designed to protect people and families from, like, slumlords.
Mm-hmm.
Who would abuse it and give them a day to get out and put them on the street. Not to be used to the advantage of, I don't want to leave, take me to court. By the way, I'm not paying anything. First of all, she's living in New York City. I don't care if it's a dorm or not. Do you know how expensive it is to live in New York City?
100 square feet in New York City is equal to 3,000 square feet in Fort Myers.
Pretty damn close. Unbelievable.
K-Rock traffic.
One thing on the board, and it's in Bernier Springs. Got a crash. Quinn Street and Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Nightly News. With David Brinkley in Washington and John Chancellor in New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, April 25th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. ATMs have been around for a long time now.
Yep.
Although, of course, I remember my first card. Remember when they installed the first one?
I do, too.
Why do we have a four-digit identification number?
You mean a PIN?
Yeah. Why isn't it shorter or longer?
Easiest to remember? We can remember things in fours? I don't know.
You're right on.
Are you serious?
The inventor of the ATM intended and wanted to use six-digit PINs.
I'll forget that.
That was the plan. But when he ran the idea by the wife, she could only remember four digits. And due to his wife's so-so memorization skills, all right, four digits. That's why things are the way they are, because somebody's wife didn't like it or did like it. That's really how the world works.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. We always knew back in, this is a big company, this radio station, but Haney and I, over our careers, have worked for mom and pop radio stations, and the pop that's running the radio station did not have the say. It was the wife.
Yep. If mama ain't happy.
Nobody's happy. Oh, our friend Patty just texted us, by the way. Hey, guys, I'm a landlord for a few places in New York City. The courts are crazy there. They are so pro-tenant and landlord, anti-landlord, it's sickening. Judges actually go to the tenants. They have a tenants legal advice court. And the tenants are, they have all the rights. Landlords can't get them out.
Isn't there a happy medium? I guess not. Amelia Earhart.
There's a lot going on there.
Now, when I say that, if you even know who I'm talking about, female aviator, but she had to have a man with her, by law, I think.
Noonan.
Yeah. Wasn't that by law, that she had to have a man with her?
On paper, he was navigator.
Mm-hmm. There was, as you said, there's a lot going on with her.
A lot.
She was quite the pioneer in aviation, and also in the bedroom.
Really?
Amelia Earhart was in an open marriage where both she and her husband could do whatever they wanted and whomever they wanted.
Because it was more or less a business arrangement with them. Her financing and him being able to go and say, look at my wife.
Now, especially back in those days, you'd think husband probably came up with that. No. It was her idea, because in her infinite wisdom, she considered marriage, quote, foolish, and that faithfulness was, quote, medieval. Medieval.
There was other reasons for her thoughts.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about it then.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. A lot of scissoring.
But this gal's got gold power.
Yeah. Right there. The two V's.
The scissors meet.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been to Japan.
but the hand is like a knife through an heirloom tomato.
In Japan, the hand can be used as a knife.
Hey-ya!
But don't try that with this heirloom tomato. Oh, no. Things are entirely different in Japan.
This is what I understand.
Now, if you're in Japan and you say, give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Yeah. What about it?
You never know what you're going to get.
What?
They have 15 different flavors of Kit Kat in Japan.
Get out of town.
Pear.
Oh, no.
Blueberry cheesecake.
No.
Green tea.
Nope.
Wasabi. And the very popular soybean flavored Kit Kat.
No.
Absolutely not.
And I'll tell you right now, Kit Kats are one of my favorites.
Give me a break.
You know, I like those giant Kit Kats that they have. You ever see the giant? Not the one that has more pieces to break off. This thing's a giant.
Just one piece?
Yeah, a giant one piece of Kit Kat. It's phenomenal.
Speaking of giant stuff.
Look at that. All those Kit Kat bars.
We don't need that.
No.
I remember one Christmas, I got my daughter one of those Hershey bars that's like the size of a small car.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And she opened that and her eyes got so big and she loved Hershey bars.
Yep.
And the first thing she said was, is this real? Yes, it's real. And you know what happened to it?
What?
She never touched it.
Come on.
She kept it in her room and stared at it because it was such a great thing. She couldn't bear to see it go away.
See, I would keep the wrapper and the foil underneath, but all that chocolate, that's a lifetime of nibbling.
That's fun.
Yep.
That's a nice little memory.
Yep. See?
Yeah. Many of you may have heard the term helicopter parent by now. That's where one overparents the children, not allowing them to make mistakes or figure anything out for themselves. And now, the original helicopter parents, your baby boomers, are at it again. There's a new term called helicopter children. And instead of trying to control your kids' every move, now it's done with the elderly parent. It's also happening with people who, granted, are elderly, but are still quite capable of being independent. But the kids insist on controlling everything, like medication, diet, and deciding when it's okay for them to drive and when it's not.
Oh, really?
I can see that going over very well with you.
Yep, not under my roof. Jeez, don't you tell me.
You know, it's unfair to say that today's kids are beyond fragile and coddled. For instance, at the University of Utah, they've just installed a brand new cry closet in the library.
Stop it!
And students who suddenly feel the need to openly weep can pop into the closet to cuddle with stuffed animals and cry all they want.
I'll break that door down and kick you in the ass.
That's the world we live in. Cry closet.
Yep. Let me tell you something. Yesterday I could have used one.
Well, you imagine if they had that years ago, Hobom would have lived in it.
I know.
In a moment.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, and we return to Japan, where the hand can be used as a knife.
Yeah!
But don't try that with this heirloom tomato. Oh, no! What a mess! A company in Japan is selling underpants, male underpants.
This interests me.
Specifically designed with two individual pouches for your junk. One stores the franc and points it upward, while the other secures the beans.
Yep. Keeping everything breathing and...
Well, it's like a McDLT.
Yeah, hot side.
They say that separating things like that allows both parts to breathe freely.
Yep. Do we have a company that we can get those, D-Train? What is it? You know, I'd like to have an address, maybe an email address or something.
Evidently, you can get them from Amazon, but it'll be from an overseas supplier.
Yeah.
They cost $8 a pair plus international shipping.
I'm willing to check it out. I'm Prime.
Yeah, but it's international shipping.
What, is that going to be more than the underwear?
It's whatever they decide on.
Yeah, it's true.
And then you got to convert your yen and...
Yeah, a lot of yen conversion to the dollar.
A 25-year-old woman by the name of Shelby Pagan.
What a last name.
Yeah. She's from Boston, and she was involved in a very serious car accident in Hawaii last June. While she was in the hospital in a neck brace, of course, she had to take a selfie, LOL. And when she inspected the selfie, she couldn't help but notice that despite everything she'd been through, neck brace and all, her eyeliner looked perfect.
Just amazing.
She was using Kat Von D's tattoo eyeliner.
Who's Kat Von D?
She's got a lot of tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Shelby was so impressed, she felt the need to post a review of it. Quote, "My mascara was running down my face from crying."
Oh, yeah.
My pillow looked like the damn Shroud of Turin.
Yep. That's Kat Von D. You know, I don't mind tattoos. Don't put them on your face.
Yeah, she's a mess.
Well, I know you. It's hard for you to talk, but what?
She's a tattoo artist. She actually does tattoos.
All right, but that's
nobody
great.
Cares.
That's great. But don't, you know, but not on the face.
Well, that's why she makes makeup. To
what?
Cover it up.
Why can't
you stop it?
Can you jerk?
Yeah, I apologize. It's hard to take him seriously sounding like that.
It is. No, yeah, not on your face, baby.
So she says, quote, "My mascara..." No, the girl that was in the accident.
Oh, Tammy Faye?
Yeah. "My mascara..." Shelby Pagan.
Ah, Pagan.
"My mascara was running down my face from crying, and all the other products had been wiped off in the transfer to the hospital. But not my tattoo eyeliner. It lasts and looks amazing through anything."
There it is. It does look amazing. Look at that. Look at that. What did I have sleeping next to me? A clown?
Damn Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus break into my house and sleep in my bed. What the?
Ah!
Christ almighty.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, You know, I spend all day long having to deal with Mr. Magoo and Mr. Peepers, and now I got Kukla, Fran, and Ollie sleeping in my bed. Easy there, Clarabelle. Might want to take a washcloth.
Oh, what do I got sleeping next to me here? What is this?
Damn, three ring circus. There is a 24-year-old woman named Kiana Wallace.
There is... Hey, Kiana.
Let's just start again, because okay. People felt like they're getting ripped off
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
There's a 24-year-old woman named Kiana Wallace.
Hey, Kiana.
She lives in St. Clairsville, Ohio.
Where's that?
Near Steubenville. Kiana found herself on probation last year after doing 6 months in jail for felony drug possession. As part of her probation, she had to take drug tests. But back in November, she thought she might fail one, if you know what I mean. But Kiana... she knows what she's doing, and she figured she would defeat the drug test by swapping out and using someone else's urine.
Right.
Unfortunately for our friend Kiana, it also tested positive for drugs.
You know, you do stuff like that, chances are the people you hang out with do stuff like that.
Of course, I'd do anything for you, Kiana. Thank you, baby. She was in court earlier this week, and the judge said, quote, "Let me get this straight. To avoid the positive test with your own urine, you used someone else's urine, which turned out to be positive also. That's bizarre." He pondered it for a moment and then sentenced Kiana to 18 months in prison. Hey, Kiana.
Hey, look at there she is. Hey, baby.
Hey, Kiana. What you doing, girl? And that's the news for today, Thursday, April 25th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Monty Haney telling it like it is.
I have to let our audience know, because you can't see everything. You can't see anything that we put up in here.
Because it's radio.
But as Haney made the Kukla, Fran, and Ollie reference, maybe young people don't know this. They were pretty popular, a puppet act. And
hey, I was a fan.
Now... he went and found a picture of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie from like 1948 when she was still young and the puppets were still new.
Mm-hmm.
When Haney and I watched Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, it was their last dying breath as an act.
Yep.
She was a hunchback invalid who still tried to keep that smile on, and those puppets were very worn out. And even Haney and I, as kids, said... get them off the air. What is this? Back in the 40s and 50s, they were huge. Well, let me tell you, by the late 60s into the 70s, she was still trying to do that act with these damn puppets. One was like a clown puppet, and the other one was like, I don't know, some kind of dragon with a buck tooth. And
yeah, it wasn't really clear.
Well, you didn't know exactly what it was. Now that's more like.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Here we are back with you again. Yes, by gum.
And yes, by golly.
Kukla, Fran.
And dear old Ollie.
Here we are again. Here we are again. Here we are again.
Here we are again.
And we watched that.
We did. We thought it was something.
Here we are again.
What is. I understand that's a bald clown, a geriatric woman. What was the other thing? What was it? A dragon?
Well, it's got some leopard print on it.
And a buck tooth.
And like a Don King wig.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was supposed to be. I just remember as a toddler, I was intrigued. And then when I was old enough, I said, well, what the hell is this? Get him off. Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
They inspired that drinking establishment we went to, yeah. Kukla's.
Oh, I remember that one.
That was right when the Joshua Tree came out.
Sure was.
I bartended there for a while.
Yes, you did.
It's supposed to be a one-toothed dragon.
What?
What?
A dragon?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Jesus.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
4 hours of whatever is going on in their heads. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. He'll have the 6 o'clock safe word for you. Could get you a thou. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
A few things on the board, and Three Oaks Parkway is suffering for it. Estero. Crash, Three Oaks Parkway and Corkscrew Road.
Not good.
Crash, Three Oaks Parkway and Alico Road.
Not good.
So if you're on Three Oaks, you're trapped.
And once you think that you're past it, you won't be.
No, you can't get off onto Corkscrew or you can't get off onto Alico.
See, the point of it is, I know where you want to go, but you can't get there from here.
Find an alternate route. And one more for you. It's in Lehigh Acres. Got a crash. Gunnery Road North and 5th Street West. And you are up to date.
Yeah, breaker one. Robert Duck.
You got
me on me, Big Ben. Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear.
It's for our tracker friends. By a mile out of Shaky Town. It's for you guys out there on the road.
Here's Rubber Duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Back off them hogs. 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, Roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But there's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears was wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as
bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air.
I says, calling all trucks, this here's the Duck. We about to go a hunting bear.
Yeah.
Big Ben. Negatory, Big Ben. You're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales.
What?
By the time we hit that Chi-Town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars
and tanks and jeeps
and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, Rubber Duck, duck to Sodbuster. Come on there, you have 10-4 Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite. He needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We got it back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
We're a nerdy family. Like, I have the deadly peanut allergy, but some people just think I'm on a diet because last week I turned down a peanut butter cookie and the woman said, oh, come on, live a little. I was like, I'm actually trying to live a lot. Not counting calories, just dodging death. I have so many allergies. I'm allergic to latex. Found that one out in a fun way. Yeah, my biggest fear is a peanut butter and condom sandwich. And it's scary because I'm actually allergic to most allergy medicines. Yeah. I'm like the millennial mascot, right? All millennials' immune systems look like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. All fragile and exposed. Older generations aren't scared of things like gluten, right? Old people are made of toast.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. College dropout refuses to leave her dorm room. I am not joking. Hunter College is waging a court battle to evict a stubborn student who refuses to leave her dorm room some 2 years after dropping out of college.
Well, she feels safe there.
Delaware native Lisa S. Palmer, who has not paid rent since 2016, refuses to leave room E579 at the school's co-ed dormitory, according to an eviction lawsuit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court.
Stan?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they physically remove her?
I've got all the details. The 32-year-old has racked up a...
32-year-old?
Yes, yes. The 32-year-old has racked up a staggering $94,000 in unpaid resident hall charges on an account of hers, on an account of her continued occupancy, all the while ignoring Hunter College's service of additional vacate notices. As of today, June 7th, 2016, you are still in occupancy of the aforementioned room, said Michelle Kwok, assistant director of Resident Life. That was 2 summers ago. Last fall, a Hunter attorney continued to battle to get rid of Palmer, sending her an eviction notice that stated in boldface type, 30-day notice of a termination. You are required to vacate and surrender the premises on or before October 31st, 2017 at 12 p.m.
What if she prefers not to?
But the former geography major, who now works at an architectural firm, has refused to budge. Quote, I plan on fighting the lawsuit, and while I fight it, I'm going to stay, she told the New York Post, outside of her messy 100-square-foot single, which is adorned with a lava lamp, a dream catcher, and piles of dirty dishes. Though school officials say Palmer dropped out, she insists Hunter College refused to let her register for fall classes in 2016 after she disputed her housing and tuition bill. I felt that it was a miscommunication initially, but after I met with the dean, I felt they were starting to treat me unfairly. It was like, get out. Only full-time students who maintain a minimum grade point average and keep a current on their room and board fees stay in those dorms. Not Palmer, who first enrolled in Hunter College in 2010, 8 years ago, after a stint at St. John's University in Queens. Dorm life is really lonely for somebody in their 30s. I feel very isolated, she said, noting that Hunter College moved her to a wing that's only occupied by a middle-aged nurse whom the college is also trying to evict. The college wants to boot a total of 9 nurses who were given rooms in various wings of the E building when it was owned by Bellevue Hospital. The resident nurses include a 67-year-old Derek Frajitas, who kept a dorm room crash pad at that address for decades.
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
If that was you or me.
We would be hauled out. There's her room. If that was you or I,
the sheriff would come in and take us by the scruff of the neck.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.